You ever have a nightmare, then decide to tell somebody about it, then about halfway through your explanation, realize you're retarded? Is there any way to describe a nightmare to be scary? I had a scary dream last night. Okay, tell me about it. I was running through this pool of marshmallows in my flip-flops, right? Then the manager came running out of nowhere, and he starts going... There's only 18 seconds to eject before the bowling alley closed. And Tom, you were there, but you didn't look like Tom, and that was freaking me out. I love cheese. What? We're no longer friends. I'm not very good with people. Even when I was little, my imaginary friend would play with the kid across the street. And I'd be like, hey, I guess we'll meet up later. And he'd be like, whatever, queer. That's a hate crime. Do you love goose down feathers? Huh? Whoa, they're nice. Mattress pad, pillows, comforter. It's like sleeping in heaven. Until that quill comes through the pillowcase and sticks you in the eye and says, how's that feel, bitch? Huh? Huh? You want to sleep on my carcass, do you? Ow! Ow! Why do you hurt so good, goose? Maybe a higher thread count. 600 does the trick. Quit sleeping on 12. That's hay. It's one third of your life. Spend the money. I was watching the country music channel the other day and I fell asleep and I woke up racist. That's weird. They should put a warning on that channel. I just wanted a nap during the Dixie Chicks. Now there's holes in my linens. That's right. If you listen to the Dixie Chicks, you're racist. I have a pie chart that proves it. I don't have segues. Get used to that. A lot of comics do. Huh? I was at the mall last week. No, you weren't. Do your joke. I study meditation. I love anything that says the act of non-doing is the most important thing you can do with your life. My whole life, my parents have been like, you are so lazy. It turns out I'm a Buddhist. So suck it. Which isn't very Buddha-like, but I only read the first chapter. Thanks, Uma's dad. I have to apologize. I have really bad posture. My mom says it's because I have a huge cock. That's how she talks. Yeah. She's a sailor. We don't judge her. She only follows one rule, and that's the rule of the sea.
The rule of the sea. Well, welcome to another edition of What's So Funny, the show that probes the brains, the minds, the psyches, and the brains of the people who make the funny. Tonight, we welcome to the show stand-up comedian and mathematician, Richard Kiss. We'll be examining the connection between comedy and mathematics. Amongst other things, we'll be discussing the tragedy plus time equals comedy formula, the comedy of threes, and Descartes' little-known principles of comedy. And now, a man who, when you mention the word proof, thinks only of his favorite beverage, Everclear. Your host and MC, Mr. Guy McPherson.
That was a first, Kevin, that I didn't understand a word of that introduction.
That's good.
Descartes' theory of comedy. Yeah.
Little-known principles.
Is he a mathematician, or he was just a philosopher?
He was both.
Was he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. And what was that last thing? Everclear?
Everclear.
I don't know what that
it's
is.
It's the highest proof alcohol.
Oh, okay.
Everclear.
It's like illegal. Except for it goes up to 200.
Yeah.
Richard knows what we're talking about. Richard Kiss is our guest. Richard Kiss. Oh, by the way, hey, how about that weather? Don't you love talking about weather? But snow, it is unusual. Occasionally, I remember Ian Boothby did a show here once. I had to go pick him up in the snow tonight. I went to pick up Richard. The roads are okay right now, but it's going to be hell getting home.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it. I should be driving down through Washington and Oregon tomorrow, maybe the next day. We'll see.
Back to your home in California.
That's right.
Going from this frigid white weather to what's the temperature going to be like in Sunnyvale, California?
I looked today. I think it was, 12 or 15? I don't know. Doesn't really get to freezing.
Right.
I have a little thing on my car that says icy when it's under 35, and I've only seen it light up a couple times, although it was lit today.
Wow. Oh, yeah, here.
Icy. Yeah,
of course.
It's icy.
So you're going to be driving back. Will you do that like in 1 or 2 days in ideal conditions?
Well, when I drove up, it took me 2 days.
Yeah. And I know when you drove up, you listened to some great comedy in your car all the way.
Some of the way.
What was it?
I listened to my first year of comedy. I've recorded every show that I've done, with just a couple exceptions. And I'll tell you, my first year of comedy. So I went back and listened to like show 17 through 101, and at times it was a little torturous, shall we say.
And when was this? And where was this?
I guess I started doing comedy in November 2004, so about 4 years ago. So shows from maybe January 2005 to November 2005.
All right. So not even that long ago, and yet even now you listen to it and you cringe a little bit. But there must have been some good stuff.
Well, I cringed the shows I did yesterday. So.
Do you?
But it's a different kind of cringing.
Hey, now I read that you took a 10-year hiatus, a little break from comedy. So you must have done it in 1994, if my math is correct.
That's
is that right?
That's about right.
You're the math guy.
Yes.
Okay, that's about right.
I was a math graduate student at UCLA, and I saw that there was a UCLA comedy club, so I showed up. It was mostly undergraduates, and we'd meet every Wednesday. It was a club in the sense of...
I see.
Yeah.
It was a club. Like, you get together in a classroom, and there was, like, 12 of you, or how many?
It was at night, but it was not a night club. It was a night club.
But you don't need to put that on your resume. You were at the UCLA Comedy Club.
Right. So we just hung around, and we told jokes and ran material. And we did a couple shows. We did a show in the graduate dormitory that I was living in. So I think I did 2 or 3 shows, and I'm sure they're just atrocious. But I had a lot of friends in the audience, so I think I probably got some laughs.
Yeah. I'm sure you got laughs anyway, on your own merit. Did any of these people go on to pursue comedy?
One of them was, what's his name?
Robin Williams?
Dane Cook.
No, he was not. Robin's a little older. I'm blanking. He was on that show Singled Out with Jenny McCarthy.
Mm. Kevin?
I remember vaguely the show Singled Out, and Jenny McCarthy I remember well.
Intimately.
Intimately,
and he also
yes.
had a show, a dating show on sea cruises. What was it called? Cruise Mates or Shipmates, I believe.
Wow.
This was a guy in your club at UCLA. And at the time, did you think he was good? Were there other people in there that you genuinely thought, hey, these guys have some talent?
Yeah, there's a guy named Steve whose last name I forget. He was tall and lean.
Steve, I know him.
Good. And there's a guy named Dan who was just crazy. He was working on radio.
I've heard of him.
And he was
Dan.
All you radio guys all know each other, first name basis.
So that's it's funny walking here to the studio today. Is that you were snapping pictures right outside our doors? They're filming a movie, a Halle Berry movie.
Yeah. Do we know who it is? I was checking
Halle Berry
IMAC outside to see if the internet was up. I was going to look on IMDb to see if we heard what the movie is.
Oh, right. Yeah. But here you are, been living in California for 17 years, is that correct?
Yeah, since 91.
And here you come to Vancouver, and you're snapping pictures of a movie being made.
Hey, this is Hollywood North.
It is. Frigid North. So how 17 years. Now, you're from B.C. You're from Vernon.
That's right.
Vernon is a lovely town, is it not?
It's a great place to be from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When did you move out? You didn't go to university there, did you, Kevin?
I slapped myself.
What's going on over there?
Oh, Kevin.
Sorry. No, there was no university
Kevin's
at the time.
Kevin's a comedy police, so he thinks.
He's slapping himself. No, I went to Simon Fraser University. I got a scholarship, full ride to SFU, and so I went there and did math undergraduate, which, you know, it's that old story, going from math undergraduate to math graduate to comedy.
Yeah. And, is there anyone?
I'm sure you get that all the time.
It must be. No? Not a big math to comedy. See, now you're still in the field, right? Or at least in computers.
Yeah, I've been working. I lived in Silicon Valley for about 15 years, and I've been working for various companies. I worked for this medical device startup for 10 years. How a startup can last for 10 years, I'll never know. But I know all too well.
And now what are you doing?
Now I'm doing nothing. I had a job in the past year working at my brother's startup on campus at UBC, an internet game company, BigPark.com, shout out. And I left that job in August, and I've decided I was going to take a year off and pursue my own interests.
Which, outside of comedy, is what?
Well, you know, I'm a math nerd, and I love computers, so...
Oh, I'm glad you said nerd, because I wrote that in our blog, that you were a math computer nerd.
Oh, yeah.
And I wasn't sure if you would be offended by that.
No, no. I prefer the term nerd to geek or dweeb.
Okay.
Well, I mean, dweeb's just all-around offensive.
I actually had dweeb and geek, and I changed it to nerd.
Well, thanks to your editor. I think I owe him one.
Yeah, that's me. But so your interests are, by the way?
My interests?
Yeah. You said you're going to take the next year and follow your own heart, maybe? Or is it more computer math-related interests that you're going to look for?
Well, I'm going to do some comedy stuff, and I have a couple computer projects. I have a comedy friend named Ben Feldman.
And okay, you got a last name this time.
This guy I actually know. And his cousin and Ben and I are working on this website. We're selling this bizarro product that I'm not supposed to talk about because I signed an NDA, non-disclosure agreement. That's Silicon Valley talk, very highfalutin. So I'm working on that, and I have this idea for... If you run a room, it's a room booker, essentially. If you run a room, it's difficult. I've never run a room myself, a comedy room, but I think one of the challenges is trying to get a rotating stream of comedians sort of in a fair way and, you know, making sure you don't have the same people every week, but making sure that you're responding to people's requests appropriately. So I want to set up a website where people who are booking rooms can create... a web page essentially for the recurring show, and then comics can go in and request, I want to be on this date or this date or this date. And I don't know, I think there may be a network effect to it where once you have a few shows on there, then comics will say to other bookers, hey, why don't you book your show through this website, and then everyone can just use this website to book rooms and to keep track of their schedule
universally.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a crazy goal, but if I could just get a few people to use it, we'll see how useful bookers find it and how useful comics find it. I have a prototype that I've been working on for the past couple of weeks.
Hey, if you need to contact Richard, go to his website, richardkiss.com.
That's it, yeah. But you won't see the prototype there. The prototype is
Yeah, but they can contact you that way,
sure.
I guess, yeah.
Oh, you bet. Or send me an email, him@richardkiss.com.
Hey, there you go. And you have a blog on there, which I find very entertaining.
Oh, really? Thank you.
I like it. Some of it's a little over my head, Richard.
Yeah.
A lot of the math stuff, those little formulas and equations or whatever you call them.
Yeah.
I don't know what you call them.
Formulas will do. Yeah,
okay.
That's pretty good.
Formulae?
Well, you know, I'm not a language geek. What is that, Greek? Latin?
Latin, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Formulae, let's call it that.
Yeah, there's one. One of your most recent ones is if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And you thought about this a lot.
Yeah, a little too much. I turned it on its head.
Yeah. Because when you heard that, what struck you with it to make you decide to analyze it to death?
It's the structure of the sentence. It's of the form, if not P, then S. Actually, I guess if not S, then P. If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem.
Right.
And anyone who studied philosophical logic knows that not A implies B is equivalent to not B implies A.
Right. So that would mean if you're not part of the problem, you're part of the solution. And that's not true?
It's just as true as if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem.
I guess it would be.
Each of them says that you are either part of the solution or part of the problem. Although, interestingly, neither excludes you from being part of both. So it's like people who drive their SUVs to stop the war rallies, I guess.
I see. And so you came up with this in that kind of language. I was going to ask you to explain it in layman's term, and that was the best you could do, is if not P, then A or S, or I don't know. My eyes start glazing over as soon as you start talking like that.
I can use English if you like.
Would you mind?
Yeah. Okay, so let's see. If you're not part of the problem, you're part of the solution. That's like the nice way of putting it, my spin on it. What's that saying is, consider you. Are you part of the problem?
No.
There's two cases. You're part of the problem.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
In which case, the statement really is true, mm-hmm. because it only says what happens if you're not part
I'm
of the problem.
I'm a negative force on society.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's the best way of putting it? I guess it's like two sets. Consider the set of people who are part of the problem and the set of people who are part of the solution. Is this still English?
I don't know.
I see the eyes glazing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was a math TA for a few years. And
oh, man.
Yeah. It's good work because you have an audience that's forced to listen to your jokes.
Yeah. Would you do jokes in a math class?
Sometimes. You know, not sort of like stand-up comic jokes, but I'd like maybe do some jokes about math or mm-hmm. jokes that were related to what I was talking about.
So going back to when you were in this comedy club,
yeah.
group at UCLA, and then 10 years later you came back and you started doing it in front of an audience regularly, or as regular as you could. Right?
Yeah, since I think it was November 22nd, 2004 was my first show.
Up here?
After the hiatus.
Or down in the States?
That was in Palo Alto.
Mm-hmm. And
in California.
So in those 10 years, was it something that you thought of a lot? Was it because you're a funny guy, you know, especially around other math people, I'm guessing.
Yeah, they can't get enough.
So was it something like, I got to do this. Was this a 10-year yearning to get back on stage, or just happened to be one day, you know, I should try this?
I do remember always thinking that I would get back into it, but I was living in the U.S., and I was born in Canada, I'm Canadian, and I lived in the United States for a long time without actually having a green card, so I figured I would get a green card first, because I wasn't sure how legal it was to...
Just to go to an open mic, even?
I think probably... Yeah, obviously, it's illegal to accept money unless you have a visa that would allow it. And the visas that I always had were very employer-specific, and these were all sort of computer jobs.
Yeah.
So, but then I turned 35, and I thought, I just got to start. I mean, it's not like I'm going to be getting paid anytime soon. So I started doing comedy about 6 months after I turned 35 in 2004. So now you can work backwards and see how old I am.
Oh.
Or what year I was born in.
Yeah. If I were a math guy, I could.
Let me borrow my calculator. where was I?
You were getting started. Your first show in Palo Alto.
Oh, yes. But since then, I've done, you know, on average, one, two shows a week.
Well, down there? Down in California?
Well, wherever I happen
well,
to
up
be.
Here, we know that there's a thriving scene.
Yep.
What is it like in Sunnyvale? Or do you have to go outside of Sunnyvale, California?
Well, the Bay Area really is just a huge clump of megalopolis, you know, between San Francisco and San Jose. It's about 50 miles, and it's just one big, massive city.
And lots of comedy rooms?
A zillion different names. Yeah, a lot of rooms.
Yeah.
There's a lot in San Francisco, which is a little too far for me to drive most of the time. And then there's a fair number near where I lived, where I live now, where I'm going back to tomorrow. You know, I probably did 20, 30 venues. It's like how it is here, where venues, they come and they go, and some are good and some are bad.
Sure.
And some last a long time, and some are well run and some are poorly run.
And some great comics and some not so great comics.
Yeah. And it's interesting, actually, when I go back now and when I'm in California now and I'm no longer the lowest man on the totem pole, and I see new comics who are newer than I am, and they... You know, they see me as the experienced one, and that's kind of a good feeling to...
Well, it helps that you're a little older than them, too. Probably.
Right, yeah.
And much taller.
Yes, much, much taller. Actually, I think when I see really young comics, it's interesting because they have less life experience to draw on, and a lot of their jokes seem to be about being a comic, you know?
Right. And so what do your jokes draw upon? Now, I don't know. Have you ever heard Irwin Barker's math jokes?
No, I haven't.
Oh, they're great. I can't. I'm not going to try to tell them to you here, but they're really funny. And do you do any math jokes in your set?
Not so much. I have a lot of jokes about numbers and about structure of sentences, like sort of what you're alluding to if you're not part of the problem, you're part of the solution, vice versa.
So what are you drawing on in your life experiences?
On my life experiences. I wish I had some life experiences that I could draw.
Right.
That'd be very, very handy. Now, I don't want to do too much hardcore nerd jokes because I think that's too easy. And also it doesn't appeal to the sort of people who go to comedy shows so much.
You think?
Yeah. You know, mostly the nerds, we stay at home.
Unless they're performing.
Right. Yeah. You know, I've gone to bars so much more in the past 4 years than I ever used to. And to the point where I'm used to going to bars, even though I never really did in my 20s. And it's really just to perform.
Right. Yeah. I think the only time I've ever seen you was at a competition. Was it last year at Yuck Yucks?
I want to say it's February 2008.
Oh, this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
February or May. I can't remember which month. I did a couple of contests this year. I think February maybe was in Sunnyvale.
Right. And so Yuck Yucks, and I saw you, didn't know you, and I really liked what I saw.
Thank you.
I don't know if I just caught you on a good night or not. Richard, you're going to say no, of course. You didn't.
Yuck Yucks tends to like me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't work big rooms that much. So I think working small rooms is a lot harder.
Oh, is it? Smaller.
Yeah, where there's less audience.
Yeah.
Especially when you tell obscure jokes that don't have broad appeal. If you have a large room, then you're likely to have a few people who will start the laughter, and then, you know, as
everyone else
cascades,
goes, oh, yeah. I should laugh now. Everyone's laughing. Awesome. Yeah, but it was good. And you did a bit on Linens and Things, and now that's going out of business. How do you feel about
that? Sucks. It's terrible.
Yeah. Is that a big chunk? I remember that particular bit. And are they out of business yet? Do you know?
Well, I remember I read a story that they're going Chapter 11, and they're trying to keep the stores open, you know, reorganize, and then this credit crunch hit, and now I think they're just going to close all the stores, which is terrible, terrible news, because I've told that joke over 100 times, I swear.
And keep refining it? I'm sure there's a way to keep it alive.
I guess I could just make it past tense. There used to be this store called Linens and Things, but then at some point it'll be like... you hear Lincoln's been shot, you know.
Well, I guess, but you could draw the conclusion that the reason it went out of business because it was such a stupid name.
Oh, I guess so.
Linens and Things. Well, what is that?
Yeah.
There you go.
Sure. What's the difference between Chapter 11 and Chapter 7, by the way, and Chapter 13?
I don't know.
Okay. I got to look that up. It's got numbers in it.
And they all begin with chapter. Our guest this week is Richard Kiss. He is a BC boy now living in California, does stand-up as well as works on big fancy computer things. He could retire. He could buy this studio right now after all those years in Silicon Valley, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Taking a year off.
And changed because you got the Canadian tunes.
That's right, yeah. And... the show is What's So Funny.
Hey.
I'm Guy McPherson, and the station CFRO 102.7 on your FM dial. If you want to call up and talk math or talk formulas or talk comedy,
proofs,
or California or snow or Halle Berry or the internet, you can give us a call. The phone number is 604-684-7561, I do believe.
You are correct.
Here in Vancouver, British Columbia. We're going to listen.
Oh,
no.
I don't think we're going
to. We're not going to. Oh, Kevin got the computer working.
The computer,
so
internet is working.
We can see it, but we can't hear it.
Now there's a problem with the connection, I think, to the board. Which,
we can't hear you, Richard. We can't hear your act, so we're going to get you to perform it now. No.
What a shame.
We wouldn't do that.
I could just mouth along to it, I guess.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't help our listeners at home or wherever they happen to be. So we'll just continue our scintillating talk with Richard Kiss, comedian. RichardKiss.com, by the way. What was it like growing up with the name Kiss?
Well, you know, my first joke is about that, where because my first name is Richard, and, you know, a lot of people shorten that to Dick.
Yeah.
So technically the kids could have teased me and called me Dick Kiss. Mm-hmm. But that never really happened.
It didn't?
No. I pretend like it did because it makes my first joke funny. And I really just engineered that joke so people would remember my name. You know, so instead of, oh, I like that one guy. Yeah. Like, oh, I like Dick Kiss.
Yeah.
I really should have registered dickkiss.com when it was available. Don't go
imagine
there now.
Imagine the hits you would get. There probably is a Dick Kiss.
Oh, there is. That's why I can't get it.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. But it's not family friendly. Let's just put it that way.
I see. Yeah, that would have been smart. We could be dickkiss.ca.
I do remember kids shouting kiss at me and then running away like I was supposed to chase them.
Yeah. So that's it, basically. Nothing really.
No, they weren't that creative.
No, this is Vernon, though, we're talking about.
Yeah.
So, but now, after SFU, you moved down, went to school at UCLA, and you've been there since, what, 91?
Yeah, I lived in Los Angeles, 91 to 94, and I got a job that relocated me to Foster City, California, north end of Silicon Valley. About halfway between San Francisco and San Jose.
But was that UCLA experience? You know, I always thought if I ever went to a university in the United States, I'd go to UCLA. I've been there. It's just gorgeous.
Yeah, it's
How
great.
Could you get any studying done there?
Really nice school. And it's really compact. UCLA is one of the UC schools, one of the public schools in the University of California system. And it's the smallest by area, but the largest by population. When I was there, it was 33,000 students, 11,000 graduate students, which was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Math department was, I think, 350 of us.
Yeah. And, you know, we were talking about Halle Berry filming out here on the streets as we talk. We think she's in it anyway. So you just walk around Westwood or whatever, you must be running into celebrities all the time.
You know, it's funny because I never saw any celebrities outside of when you would expect to see them. Like, I remember the cast of The Simpsons came to school once and I went to see them, so of course I saw celebrities then, but it wasn't a surprise, you know. And Bill Clinton came to campus before he was president when he was running in the primaries, and
so
I saw
you would
him.
Just go to a pizza joint and say, hey, there's Susan Day.
Never happened to me, although I did hear of other people seeing Susan Day.
Yeah. Like how I just pulled that one out.
Right. I think if I saw her, I wouldn't say there's Susan Day. I'd say, oh, look, there's a person. Susan Day.
Oh, you don't know? I thought.
No, I know the name, but I can't picture the
face.
She
played Lori Partridge in The Partridge Family. Oh, and she was also on L.A. Law, I guess.
Okay.
All right. No.
That's got L.A. in the name.
Yeah, so that's why I thought Susan Day. No? Okay. All right, so no big celebrity stories to talk about.
No, nothing.
But so are you fully Americanized?
Chris Hardwick. That's the guy.
Hey, who's that?
That's the guy who worked with Jenny McCarthy.
Okay.
I knew if I stopped thinking about it, his name would come
going
in my
back,
head.
He was in your UCLA comedy club.
Yeah, he was the president for a semester or two.
Maybe we could check him on YouTube.
Isn't he famous for something else, though? Something really big?
Hard and Firm? That's a band that does...
Okay. I've seen them here, yes. Is he the guitarist or the...
He's hard. I don't know what he does, actually.
Did they register Hard and Firm or Dick Kiss?
I hope so.
They've got both.
But
probably goes to the same place.
Are you thoroughly Americanized? That's what I was going to ask. Like, when you come back here to Canada, which you've spent a good chunk of time here with your brother's company, is there a bit of culture shock coming back this way, even though you grew up in B.C.?
Well, I'm really pussified from the weather. Like I remember last year it was really cold. And the what?
The math.
The math is the same in both countries.
Oh, no.
Oh, I see. Yeah. No, actually, math is a very masculine field.
I'm sure it is.
You know, not in the sort of, like, weightlifting way, but it's just male-dominated.
Oh, yes. It's because men are smarter. Hey, once again, that phone number is 684.
At math, though, technically speaking, overall, but there are women who are smarter than men in math. But overall, men score better on... Am I right or wrong here?
I would say that men have more variation. So if you look at the bell curve, the bell curve for men is wider, which means that there are more men who are really, really good at math, but also more men who are really terrible.
Exactly.
Averages are actually pretty similar between men and women.
Mm, okay.
So that should make everybody unhappy.
Yeah.
Right. So, yes, you say you're pussified from the weather. Coming back here, well, especially well, not in the summer. Yeah. It's gorgeous here.
Yeah, in the summer. Yeah, the summer was great. But it took me a long time to remember that I have to zip up my coat.
In the summer?
In the winter.
In the winter.
Yeah, right. Because in California, I put on my coat when I go out, and I never zip it up, so I just got used to not zipping it up. And then I'd be like walking along the streets, down Broadway, walking home or whatever, or walking to the bus stop, and you're like, geez, I'm freezing. It's like, oh, maybe I could do my coat up.
And put on a shirt.
Yeah. why am I wearing shorts? It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's
so
only
tough, dude.
12 or 15 degrees there now, and it's not like it's warm. I guess that is warm. I don't even know.
It's not bad.
But
you don't need to zip up your coat.
Right. Was there a process of acclimatization, not with climate though, in moving down there, and conversely in coming back, other than the weather?
Yeah, definitely. One thing that really annoyed me was it took me over a year to get a credit card in the U.S. And then finally, like 2 years ago, I just closed my Canadian bank accounts because I didn't think I was coming back up. And then I came back up to work with my brother, and then I couldn't get a credit card here. I had to put down a deposit to get a credit card.
And is that because you've been in the States so long, or just because...
Yeah, my Canadian credit is blank for the past 7 years, so I had no credit whatsoever.
Oh, I see.
No credit record. And I guess they won't look at other countries, or maybe I didn't pursue it hard enough.
And so, you're going down there without a job right now. You're taking a year off.
Mm-hmm. So now I have a green card. So
why do you need to go down there? Would you stay here, or you just like it better down there now?
Well, the weather's a lot better. And
it's different.
No, it's definitely better.
Okay.
Vancouver's a great place. There's no question about that, but definitely the weather is better there.
Okay.
It's, maybe among the best in the world.
If you like sunny and warm weather.
Right, if you like it really boring.
Yeah.
It doesn't really get too hot. And it doesn't get cold, and it doesn't really rain in the summer. And it rains a bit in the winter. There's no snow. It doesn't really get that windy. It's a few storms, but it's not terrible.
Just dull. But you,
exactly.
So you like that better. And do you think you'll just spend the rest of your life down there?
I don't know. I know I got to spend the next few years because I got my green card a couple years ago, which means I'm eligible for U.S. citizenship in 2011. And then once I have that, I can leave the country as long as I want. But just having a green card, you can't really move away.
Keep talking.
Okay.
Keep talking. I'm busy over
what's
here.
What's going on over here?
I think he's just trying to find something for me. My drugs.
I had this turn to a discussion of immigration policy, by the way.
Well, I'm just trying to see what do you see about living down there?
Oh, well, it's a great place if you're interested in computers. I live like a quarter mile from the world headquarters of Apple Computer. I live 5 miles from Google.
By the way, you're a big computer guy. Is it Apple or PC? Which do you like?
I like Macs.
There you go.
Yeah, I've been using Macs since '88, I think.
Yeah.
Even before they were cool. I love it when people say that, by the way. I've known about this band since before they were cool.
Exactly.
Or I've been using Mac since before they were cool. Which is basically saying, I'm not cool.
And now that they are cool, they're not cool because everybody knows about it.
No, I think they're cool, but I don't get any of that credit.
No.
Because I've been using them since before they were cool. I consider cool.
But at these companies you work at, I don't want to get this into a conversation about computers, but aren't they still all PC?
A lot of them are, but actually in Silicon Valley especially, it's a lot more Mac-oriented. Internet companies are more operating system agnostic. So if you're writing software that runs on a website, you'll see a lot of people actually using Macs rather than Windows. If you go to a Google conference, it's probably over 50% Macs. Everybody's got their laptop, so you can just sort of take an eyeball survey.
Mm-hmm. You go to Google conferences?
I was at one in May, yes.
Down there in Silicon Valley. Everything is there, right?
Yeah.
So how many, if you were to break up your shows between down California and Vancouver, what's the percentage of what you've done where? How many have you done up here?
I'd guess probably 50 to 75 here in the past year, and the rest are Silicon Valley. And I did one in New York once, and I've done a couple on cruise ships.
So you've done the bulk of your act in California.
Yeah.
So are you accepted when you come up here and you spend, how long have you been up here this time? A few months?
I've been in town for a month, and past year I've been in Vancouver probably equivalent of like 9-10 months.
Yeah. Do you go get on shows and they're like, who are you? Or are you accepted?
Sure.
Or do you say, hey, I'm in California. A comic from California.
Well, I try that. I try and pull that to see if it gives me any cred, and I don't really know how well it works.
Yeah.
I think it sounds good. A lot of times they introduce me as being from living in Los Angeles, which is, just false.
Right.
But it probably sounds better than he's from Sunnyvale.
Sunnyvale, California.
Yeah. Comedy heaven.
Yeah, but would they accept you? Or is there a bit of, who are you? What are you doing here?
Why? Yeah. Well, I think if people think you're just passing through town, they don't see you as a threat, and so you can just get away with anything. But then after I start showing up to shows for like a few weeks in a row, they're like, what's going on here?
You're going, wait a minute, you're not really from California. You just said that to get on some shows.
Right.
Is that right?
Well, they may be thinking that. I don't know. It's possible.
But everyone's polite. And then down there, you're part of the scene, right? Because as you said, young comics coming up, looking up to you.
I think probably people know who I am more down there than they do here. But I'm not a big name, that's for sure.
No, one day.
One day.
One day, Richard.
One day, the name Dick Kiss will be huge.
when you're doing your day job at your companies, do your coworkers know that you're doing comedy at night? Do they come out and support you?
When I first started, I was working for a medical device company, and I didn't tell anyone. And I was just wondering how long I'm gonna do this like two or three times a week. How long before someone finds out? And it was over 2 years before anyone said anything. And then it was sort of like this dirty secret that I think was passed around behind my back, but they never confronted me. It's like I was gay or something.
Yeah. Or you're taking ballroom dancing or something.
You say tomato.
Would they ever ask you to perform at functions, or would you get up there and
MC
things?
Nobody said anything to my face about it.
Oh, really?
Ever, yeah.
Oh, one day.
I think once my boss, he called me over and whispered to me, so I think people are passing around the YouTube video.
Oh.
Which I just thought you should know. But still, he's just sort of telling me that this was happening. But no one said anything.
Oh, that's kind of cool, though.
Yeah. Now that I've left that company, I still keep in contact with some of the people who work there, and they're well aware of it, and they ask me how things are going and whatnot.
You can see that video. We can't play it tonight because the computer's having a problem. And we have a computer guy in studio with us. And
isn't that ironic?
Yeah. But you could go to YouTube.com or RichardKiss.com and check on the video link there. And there's about a 6-7 minute clip of you doing comedy.
It's everything I can do to not try and fix this problem. But it wouldn't be much of an interview, I guess, if I was just like, my butt crack showing.
Yeah, it wouldn't be. you mentioned you record every show. Yeah. You didn't say how many shows that is.
I'm up to about 350 now.
350.
Yeah.
What's the longest show you've done?
I did 20 minutes in Chilliwack a few months ago. Mm-hmm. I've done 20 minutes a few times.
Yeah, you're there. Yeah, but usually it's at a open mic thing where it's 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah, 7 to 10 is more typical. Yeah.
And so do you think you've done 20? Is that where you're just using up everything that you have?
Or no,
do you think you can go much longer?
I have a lot of material, but it's not a lot of what I would call A material, or at least like widely accessible. And also sometimes an audience, like the Chilliwack show was terrible. The audience is like, we don't get this guy. And then they wrote me off. And then it was just like, all right, let me know when the 20 minutes is up.
How does it affect you?
What?
Well, having a show like that where the audience is going, this guy.
Oh, well, it sucks. But I had a comic, well-known comic, Mo Mandel, tell me once some good advice, which I passed on, which is don't let the bad shows affect you too much, but don't let the good shows encourage you too much.
Right. That is very good advice.
Yeah. So just, dampen down the emotion. Right.
Become a
robot, I think, is what he's saying. So
but I guess, if all the shows were bad, then it should affect you in one way. not you, because that's not right. the case, but you should get out of the business.
Yeah.
Stop doing it.
I don't know. I remember, like, once in a while, you get these streaks where you get so many bad shows in a row. It's like, what am I doing?
Right.
And then you get so many, once in a while, you get like so many good shows in a row. It's like, wow, I'm like unstoppable. I'm at the next level. And then you get, and then the next day, you just get another bad show and you're back to.
So now, as we mentioned at the top, how you listen to so many of your shows starting out. What do you take from them? Do you sit there and listen and go, ah, I just learned something just from listening to how I handled that particular situation, or like, do you?
Well, what I got from my first 100 shows is I had my voice recorder, so I was listening to myself and talking to myself. Which sounds
oh,
like
I see.
Itself.
So you, as you were driving, you were listening, and then you.
I would make notes to myself. So then I once I arrived here, I listened to the notes to myself. I had like 40 of them. Mm. And I transcribed those, and I got a lot of new old jokes, if you will.
No, I don't. I won't. Tell me, what does that mean?
New well, old jokes that I'd done that I'd forgotten about.
And so you fixed them up a little bit? And did it work?
Some of them have worked pretty well, yeah. Like, a lot of times, especially when you're first starting out, you have ideas for material that you just can't pull off when you're so new, or you can't figure out how to work it. So I keep all my ideas in a database, of course.
What, your brain?
A spreadsheet.
a program I wrote myself, of course.
If only we could do that.
And so everything is in there. So I would go back and, was that the cough button?
Yeah.
He just leaned over about 45 degrees.
These mics pick up everything.
Don't give away the magic.
What was I talking about?
I don't know. I was listening.
Reprogramming your brain, I think. Rewriting it.
Making an old joke new.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. So, you know, because I had this one joke that I tried telling a couple times, and it just didn't work. So I put it away for 6 months. And then I pulled it out again, and I tried it again with, like, a slightly different spin, or, like, this experience that I'd picked up with, like, more new confidence or something. And it worked really well. So a lot of times, if a joke doesn't work but you still think it's funny, don't throw it away. Just put it on snooze.
Right. And then it's funny, after a bit of time, when you've maybe forgotten about it, you go back and you hear it and go, this.
Especially if you still think it's funny. Like, if I listen to stuff that I said that I thought was funny that the audience did.
It's like, that the audience didn't.
The audience didn't. Then it's like, I got to keep this, and I got to rework this, you know, maybe save it for the future.
Mm-hmm.
When I can finally figure out what the hell to do with it.
Is that why you started recording every show? Or was it a vanity
just a little
project?
Anal retentive, I guess.
Is it? OCD. You like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you think you'll continue, like, throughout your...
Recording?
Yeah.
It's a habit I can't break. You know, it's like washing my hands.
Which you do compulsively?
Go to the bathroom. Yeah, I go to the bathroom compulsively. Every time my bladder is full, I don't know.
That's weird.
That's strange. Franklin Ajayi recorded every single show of his.
Did he?
Yes, but on cassette tapes back in those days.
Yeah, what do you use?
I use an MP3 player.
Right. Of course you do.
It's a little thing. And people always look at it and say, what's that?
And it's your life.
Well, no, I mean, I transfer the shows to my computer every couple months, and I rename them because the stupid thing gives them names like Voice 000. Voice 001, and the recorded date is always December 31st, 1969, so I have to listen to the first, like, minute or two to figure out what it really should be called, and then I rename it, like, Show 345.
Oh, you actually can do that. Oh, Richard.
And I put the name of the venue and the date that it was recorded into the name. It's very systematic.
It is, but for any...
it's like the Lennon Archives.
...purpose, I guess, for your offspring. One day.
Oh, God, if they listen to this, they're going to kill themselves.
You have any kids?
No.
No, okay.
No, no kids.
Thank
Never
God.
Been married. Not that I don't,
no
not
suicide.
That I know of. Oh, God.
Kevin?
See, I didn't do it. You guys did it. Slap yourselves.
I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, get on that. You should be
before
recording
Robin
this.
Williams steals it.
Oh, well, it goes on the radio station website. When I get home, I'll just take the MP3s and
cut them up.
All right. And you know, edit it down so it's a solid 5 minutes.
Yeah, because the MP3s, they I did this for Colleen Brow, who was on a few months ago. The MP3s, they end at like 40 after the hour or something, or it slides a few
minutes
every day. Yeah. So you got to take 2 1-hour MP3s and cut off like 40 minutes from the first one and 20 minutes from the second.
It's crazy. That's how we roll here at Co-op Radio, CFRO 102.7
yes.
FM.
Oh,
write it down.
I got it.
Richard Kiss is our guest here. We got 15 minutes. I'm trying to decide. Kevin, did you set up a comedy clip?
One short clip and one a little bit longer clip. A little bit longer is a Brian Regan clip.
Yes.
And the shorter one is Doug Stanhope's 10 Laws. I just thought, well, it's got the number 10 in it, and I like that clip.
Now, are you a big comedy fan?
You know, I really don't pay that much attention to comedy. I do like Brian Regan.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
And what about Doug Stanhope?
I don't think I've seen him. I've heard the name. Then I've probably heard like some of his clips.
Then we will play Doug Stanhope.
Okay.
Right now, it's a short clip.
Can I hear that through the cans?
It's only a minute.
Listen through the cans. Here is Doug Stanhope.
I hope. Oh. Hang on.
I think my cans are broken. Oh, no, our mic's not on, so it doesn't matter. Too many laws. Everything's illegal. They keep adding more things. They just keep making more and more shit illegal, and they never take any laws off the books. They should have 10 laws in this country. That's a maximum of 10 laws. That's all they should be allowed to have, and you vote on a 900 number. So you can be a fat son of a bitch and still be a productive member of society. You do. Then you'd have all the laws everyone agrees on, like rape and murder and burglary and assault. And then you could have half a dozen of the little bullshit mix and match laws. Don't sell drugs and wear a seatbelt. Don't masturbate on the bus and put on a helmet. And then when you want to add a new one, you're going to kick the least popular back to the people. Okay, I can't smoke in bars anymore, but I can jack off on the bus again. That way only a certain fraction of people are getting screwed at any given time on a rotating basis.
A little snippet of Doug Stanhope for Richard Kiss, who hadn't... maybe heard Doug Stanhope. Now, he uses some salty language, Richard. Does that ever escape your lips?
Oh, yeah. I do a little cursing. But I try and at least have the ability to keep it clean. I know that's not a sentence, but you know what I'm saying.
No, I don't.
I try and have clean material. I'll express it in the form of logic.
Yeah. Clean material, so you can work both ways
but sometimes there's just a crowd that just wants to hear about vaginal intercourse.
Yeah, so so you
those crowds are crazy.
You let them have it.
Let's just say I don't cock block.
Yeah, but it's interesting though. You say you don't really listen to comedy. You grew up. Were you the funny kid in school? You got a kind of a quick perverted sense of humor.
I guess I was kind of funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so I was interested. Like Erica Sigerson never listened to comedy. Still doesn't. I was wondering about you guys who are like that. So what draws you in? What gets you up on the stage? And why stand up and why not improv or sketch or anything else? Comedic.
I think with improv and sketch, you have to talk to other people.
Oh, right.
Or have friends, or I don't know.
That's how you get.
It really seems
friends.
Like quite a stretch. I'm sure it's all about ego. And I've always considered the desire to want to do comedy to be a psychological flaw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so compulsively recording all your shows.
No, that's a strength.
That's his thing.
That shows strength of character.
Yeah. You think
you got to rename them, too.
It is a little bit of, I have some ideas that I think are funny, and I want everyone to sit there and listen to me. Because what I have to say is worth you stopping talking and listening to me. Mm-hmm. Right? So there is that. But you're a well-adjusted guy, right?
I like to think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm nodding, which doesn't work well on radio.
Well, it's okay. Our listeners are nodding off.
Now it's time for me to do some ventriloquism. Check this out.
Hey, Edgar Bergen used to do that on radio. You're too young. I'm throwing these references.
I know. You're going to
Susan
Edgar Bergen.
Day. To Susan Day.
There's this guy, Buster Keaton.
Edgar Bergen.
I like Louis C.K. a lot. He's one of my favorites. I wish I could be more like him. He gets away with...
He's filthy.
Says the filthiest things, but he does it in a way that...
is endearing.
Yeah, he gets away with it. And I like to think I...
Well, he shows his vulnerability.
Or maybe one day can.
Yeah, he shows his vulnerability. It's not aggressive kind of filth.
Yeah.
It's inwardly directed a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And did you see him when he was here recently?
I've seen him in San Francisco a couple times.
But not here.
No, not
he
here.
He was much better here than in San Francisco.
That show in San Francisco.
Yeah, well, he was here in September, but I think it was like he came like a couple days after I left.
Ah.
So right. The timing just wasn't right. But I have a picture of me with him taken, like, I think before I started doing comedy.
Was he nice to you?
He was gracious, yeah.
Yeah.
He was, you know, like I hung around until after everyone else left and asked him if he'd take a picture, and he's like, yeah.
You snapped those photos, and I don't see any photos, too many of them, on your website, richardkiss.com.
No. Well, the website's not done.
Oh, it's not? What was I looking at?
No, that's
Dick
right.
Kiss.
You're looking at... what I'm saying is it's not finished.
I see.
And it never will be.
It's a work in progress.
Yeah.
And you added a little snippet about you going to be on this show tonight on your blog.
Yes.
How often is it just whenever something occurs to you that you sit down and you write your blog, or do you let it go for weeks and weeks without doing anything?
Well, you know, I actually put like a pop-up thing on my iCal. So every 6 days it reminds me to do a blog entry. Most of the time I just like, snooze it or just dismiss it eventually after snoozing it for hours or days. Sometimes it'll be like I'll snooze it for so long, then I'll have two popping up.
Oh, you got to write two blogs now. Yeah, you should.
Well, then I just dismiss it. Screw that.
But, and when you write a blog, do you have anything in mind? Like, do you want it to be funny or do you want it? Does it matter?
I want it to be interesting, at least what I consider interesting, because I think it's really hard to have broad appeal, and I don't know if it's something that I will ever get, so I think I need to get to the point where I have people who find me interesting, and they're the ones who come see my show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if or when that will ever happen. So especially on the blog, I try to be really true to myself, to things that I find interesting or relevant.
So
original, especially. Like, I don't want to just rehash someone else's ideas.
Right. In this year that you have off coming up, are you going to really dedicate yourself to comedy and furthering that, do you think?
I think I'll probably just keep doing what I'm doing now, like 1 to 2 shows a week, because, you know... Well, there's not much money in comedy. You have to be incredibly successful to...
You've made the money.
...even make a living. I've made the money?
You've made the money. Now it's just time to sit back and be artistic.
That's right. Put my feet up and do shows in front of 6 people in a coffee house who didn't even know there was going to be comedy that night.
That's right.
That's purity of heart.
Well, yeah, I mean...
teach them sentential logic. All right, listen up, you bastards.
There is the money there, but
this is going to be on the final.
A very select few.
Yeah.
Comics, right?
Yeah, I'm not looking at Louis C.K. money, you know.
That's crazy money.
Yeah, I know. It's
beyond.
Sweet.
Or, yeah. So you're just happy at, having it being a part of your life without overtaking your life.
I want to try and find a life where I can pursue comedy and computers and other things that interest me and somehow try and tie them together, which is one reason that I'm working on this, I'm looking at this Room Booker thing. And I don't know.
That's the key, isn't it? The old saying, find something you like to do and try to find a way to get paid for it.
Yeah.
And you'll be happy.
Yeah.
Then if you can combine your two loves.
Mm-hmm. I think the number of people who know how to write software for a website and have sort of an internal view of comedy and the workings of stand-up comedy are quite small. I think those two sets are mostly disjoint.
Right.
If I may speak the language of love.
Math. Yeah. Two sets are disjoint.
Yeah, no overlap.
Disjointed. Disjoint.
Disjoint, right. Okay. That's no. Mathematicians, they always say two sets are disjoint.
I see. You do a podcast, don't you? Or you have done
one? That's one of my ideas, but it's not really gotten off the ground yet.
Oh, so you don't have one?
No. Maybe soon. It's in the can.
And what kind of show would this be that would be competing with What's So Funny?
Well, the idea...
Don't eat.
Yeah, don't try.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, seriously, don't try. We will get you.
Well, don't worry. I live in California. Yeah. I don't have a radio station.
It's the World Wide Web, buddy. We're a podcast. That's will be in forever. True. But yeah, what kind of show are you thinking of?
I was thinking of doing a daily show with clips from comedians that I know and just doing like 2 to 3 minutes of their comedy. I had a friend...
Comedians you know personally, not like, here's a clip of Louis C.K.
Well, starting out with comedians I know personally, and then I think after the... Once it's established, it should be relatively easy to get big name, or at least bigger name comedians. Like, I've spoken to Larry Bubbles Brown, who was on Letterman...
Of course.
...last summer, because he's a Bay Area comic, so I see him once in a while. You know, and if you talk to people personally, they're usually willing to say, yeah, just use a clip, just find a clip and use it. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of stuff on the web, and I have ways of extracting it from the web and turning it into an MP3 that I can...
So it would be a show...
...copyright of.
Kind of like a comedy show where people can tune in to listen to comedy.
Yeah.
And you would be the host.
I guess, yeah, the host, or just like the guy who says, all right, here's comedy from my friend... Larry Bubbles Brown. That sounds really engaging, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, I don't know Larry Bubbles Brown. But how did he get the nickname Bubbles?
I don't know. I think it's because he's really pessimistic. And
oh,
so
that's
ironic.
How he sounds. I see. It's an ironic name. It's like
his first joke is like, calm down, Mr. Fun's here. Mm. That's my impression of Larry Bubbles Brown. Thank you.
It's like calling the fat guy Slim.
Right. I'll be here all week. Well, for another...
Two and a half minutes. Oh, wow. Things are wrapping up. And I know also from reading your blogs that you enjoy, or at least you have, going to watch karaoke.
Oh, no.
Karaoke.
I'm a big karaoke fan. I love to
performing?
Sing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, wow. We should have got a tune. We could have done. What's your go-to?
Lately, it's been System of a Down, Chop Suey. You know that song?
No, I'm not familiar with it.
It's like, wake up, grab a brush and put on a little makeup, hide the scars that fade away, the shake up. It's a really weird song, but it's got this yelling, and then it's got this like ballad part, and then it's got this head banging.
Kevin, you know it?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't like it?
I'm already getting a headache from him just talking about it. It's awful.
3.5 minutes, and the first minute you just
wake
stand
up!
There waiting for the song to begin.
It? System of a Down.
But the audience, they eat it up. And I got this little act out, too, where I like get on my knees and reach the sky. Father, why have you forsaken me?
Yeah.
It's funny because I've performed karaoke. not in a karaoke bar where everybody's sitting there and you
go Japanese style?
Yeah, Japanese, where you're in your room like this and it's just your friends.
That's weird.
There. It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know if I'd go up into a bar with strangers and perform. But I guess you like that because you're
a performer,
comic,
right? So when I'm on the stage, when some guy who is like working at the accounting firm goes up and he does a song, and then I go up, it's like I've had more experience on the stage, so it's just like, all right, I'm gonna show this guy how it's done.
So you humiliate him.
We did have a comic here who loves karaoke, and we performed or played. I Will Survive, the karaoke version, and she sang along with it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How was it?
It was fantastic.
Awesome.
Yeah, I should have.
But you can't see the act out on radio.
No.
It's all about the act.
Is it all about the act? Can you carry a tune? Because some people are god-awful, aren't they?
I've had people tell me that I can sing, but, no, I can't sing everything.
They're fans of System of a Down.
I remember one time I tried to do that song, Don't Stop Believin'. Mm-hmm. And when it was done, I just had to, like, run away, leave the establishment.
It's tough to live up to that one.
Do you sit there, like, for hours waiting for the tap on the shoulder, and then you get up there? How does it work?
Well, not for hours. Come on. You know, I got a life.
Yeah. Like, but you enjoy
59
watching
minutes,
others.
Maybe.
Yeah. And then you get up. Do you do this here in town? Where can the people catch you?
Well, I'm leaving tomorrow, but I hit Darby's a few times. I got it on Wednesday. And Checkers, I got it like four nights a week.
Oh, Checkers, yeah.
Oh,
is that
guy
that does Sting songs, is he still there? He's even got the bleach blonde hair.
Yeah, I'm not sure who you're talking about.
That's all
about,
he does.
But yeah, there are some
Sting
people
songs
that seem like regulars. Oh, and the Legion on Main and 24th, I think.
So you hit them all.
It took a while, actually, to figure out where they are.
And you go alone?
I'll go alone or with friends.
Yeah. Because if you go alone and then you're just sitting there.
I know. People are like, why is that guy alone? Then you go up on stage and like, oh.
That's why. He is good. And there are
I'm not alone
skills.
For long, let me just say.
Yeah. But you do a Louis Armstrong, don't you?
Yeah. What's that song?
What a Wonderful World.
Yeah, I do the voice. Yeah. I see trees of green, red roses too. So, you know, when you hear the fake black guy voice coming out of the skinny, tall, white dude, people are like, dude, sit up and take notice.
Yeah, who's that guy? Right. But, and there are people that get up there who just really think they're
are
on.
Are bad, yeah.
Well, no, but they might be good, but they just take it way too seriously.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I did it on campus at UBC, too, because I was living on campus there for a while. And a lot of the kids there, they do it in groups for some reason.
Oh, the safety in numbers? Get up
maybe.
There.
Everyone's and they do in sync a lot because I guess that's their era. And a lot of them are not that good.
Mm-hmm. I still like, you know, the old Frank Sinatra, Bobby Darin era. It's not my era either, but I like the swinging arrangements they have.
Frank Sinatra. Yeah.
Hey, who's with me?
Yeah,
what about Susan Day?
Do you do an impression or do you do your own voice?
No, I'm an original, Richard.
Okay.
I make it my own. Uh-huh. I do Frank Sinatra. No, I don't do an impression. Maybe, you know, a little hint
the,
here and there.
That thing he does where it seems like he's got to blow his nose, you know? I love the really nasal voice or whatever.
You don't know who Frank Sinatra is, do you?
Oh, my God.
Isn't he a puppeteer?
What? The worst.
Is Ernie or Bert? I can never remember which
worst
one.
Worst Frank Sinatra impression. Oh, Kevin just looked up Larry Bubbles Brown. He's on Wikipedia.
Yeah, he's got lots of...
San Francisco-based, deadpan, self-deprecating comedian and actor.
He always makes me laugh. He's been on Letterman twice. 20 years between visits. That's
well, he probably has YouTube. There is a lot
set
on
YouTube.
Stuff, I'm going to go home and look up Larry Bubbles Brown. And you, the listener... Well, you go to your computer and look up Richard Kiss. Go to his website, richardkiss.com. See him in action. Where was that recorded?
That was at UC Santa Cruz at the Barn.
There you go.
150 kids.
We can't see Richard around town anymore. He's been here for a while, but he's driving back, hopefully, safely, tomorrow from here, Vancouver, all the way down to the...
San Francisco.
Is it Southern California?
No, that's what they call Northern California, but anyone who looks at a map would call it Central.
Okay, Central California area. Sunnyvale in the trailer park.
Yeah.
Richard, thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Have a safe trip back to California. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. I needed an answer from that. Next week, our guest will be the irrepressible Mr. Simon King. Last show before Christmas next week, December 21st. That's it. So tune in again next week. Talk to you later.